What have we been studying about?
Yes.
Spiritual gift. Who desire to give us all good gifts?
Jesus.
Our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name and through the work of the Holy Spirit, desire to give us every gift that we are in desperate need of. You know, we can live without a car. I know my dear sister, whom most of you met, Evelyn Nicholson, rested in peace, 97 years old. And she never owned a car. She never driven a car. And she never had a license. So some of the things that are becoming real needs for us today, we can really live without. But the spiritual gifts, we cannot live without. It is something that we need. It makes us who we are. And without it, we become defective. So we have studied in several weeks about the many different gifts of the Spirit and how God desired to give us those gifts and what is required for us to have those gifts. What are the gifts used for? And we have seen what happened to the disciples when they were prepared and ready to receive those gifts. The gifts were used to bless them and their families, to bless the church, and to bring about glory and honor to God and not to self. And we have seen signs and wonders and miracles of healing of all kinds. And we've seen people from different nations hearing the words of the living words of life through the disciples, and they also asked the disciples, "What can we do now, brethren?" And Peter said, "Repent and be thou converted, that the days of refreshing may come from the Father above, and that you may receive the Holy Spirit." So if we are to receive the Holy Spirit, every day we are required to do what? To confess our sins, and to repent, and to turn our heart and mind and soul to Jesus. If we don't, we lose. We're going to be counting on our own abilities, and we're going to put ourselves in trouble. Today, I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit to lead us into the greatest of gifts to desire. And I'm going to tell you the truth. If you did not receive that gift, you cannot receive any other gifts.
Salvation.
Okay? Today and every year, what can we receive and give unto Jesus and other to influence life, character, and purpose in heavenly blessed ways that it may reflect upon us the same? I have preached on this issue before. And the title was that sermon or series of sermons where the problem and the answer share the same common word. The root of our every trouble and conflict on earth and the answer to our every conflict on earth share the same word. What is that word?
Love.
Thank you. And that is what we're going to be examining today. And I don't know if I'm going to finish everything today. But I'm going to let the Spirit of God lead us because I believe it is the most important topic to talk about. Why? Because God is what?
Love.
And also because Satan also offered us what?
Love.
So now we are caught. No one ever said that in the Bible, but he has given us a substitute for God's love that is the root of all of our troubles on this earth. The love of self come from where?
Satan.
The love of money come from where?
Satan.
The love of other human beings in all the wrong way come from where? All of the problems we read about in the newspaper and we hear about on the news, what is the root of it?
Love.
The love of evil. We don't call it the love of Satan. It's kind of an unusual term, but it is. It is. He is the root and the author of this. And so we're going to be examining that gift and how to obtain it. Here's the truth. You can only give the love that you have. That's it. If the love that you have is the true love of Jesus, then everything you give will come from there. But as we studied yesterday in Bible study, we are all today the product of the knowledge and the experiences we have received throughout our life, and many of this knowledge was not the good knowledge of God's love. I'm very thankful to see a powerful cleric agreeing with me here. That's good. All of the knowledge that we have received throughout our life from being children and going to school, going to church, going to work, having friends, watching movies and TVs and listening to all kind of shows, we know very well that much of the knowledge we have stored into this mind does not really depict or promote the true love of God. Therefore, all of our fears today, here it is, all of our fears today, frustration over our circumstances or over others, all of our hurts today and all of the pains and the anger that prompts all of this, stemming out of that wrong love. So if we learn to substitute that wrong love with the other love, guess what's going to happen to all of these negative feelings? They're going to start to disappear one at a time. And as I shared with you yesterday, when conflict happens in our life today with people and you find yourself getting angry, what's happening? If you're getting angry because someone is doing something you don't agree with, that is embedded in the love of self. Because this is what's happening. We have been hurt a lot throughout the years, right? We have been loved in all the right and all the wrong way throughout our lives. And some of us did not receive the true, genuine love of Jesus when we were children. It was all conditionals, right? Or it was completely absent. And many of us received that love. You know, if you go to school and if you achieve good grades, then your parents are there for you and they tell you how nice and how good of a job you've done. But we lacked into the love and the affection and the unconditional love in many different ways. And so we experienced much worse than that when we went to school, right? And I saw that when I was teaching in the public school system, a child, and I shared that in Bible study yesterday, a child who was overweight, who came to school. And I see during recess how all the other kids go and play with each other and leave their child behind. And I heard some of the comments of those children about that child. Where did they learn that from? That if a child is overweight, he is somehow less and therefore he is to be loved less. Honored and respected less. Who gave them that knowledge? Not just their own parents, and not just at home. They heard it from other kids, right?
That's true.
Society.
And then, what do they watch on movies? How do they treat those kind of people in the movies?
True, TV shows.
Make fun of them? You see, our love for others has been tainted and corrupted by the false knowledge we have received early on in child development and went with us all the way, even until now as adults. We have developed prejudices and other issues and decided to treat people in the ways not that we want to be treated. We are treating people in the ways that they fit our own profile of what they ought to be. So, if someone else is not looking like me, is not talking like me, is not believing like me, there's something wrong with them. Now, what is the truth? Isn't there something wrong with all of us?
Yes.
Do you know of anyone who got it all together?
Nobody's perfect.
If we are perfect, we wouldn't be here on earth, would we?
No.
So the truth is, if we are to continue to exist on this earth, how can we live an abundant life, even a struggling, imperfect human being? Is that possible? I tell you, it is. We all have to go through ups and downs. We will all make decisions on this earth. Some of those decisions will come to bless us. Some of the other decisions will not. Okay? But can we still look at the bad decisions with a different eye, that the outcome eventually come to bless us? True. I want you to know this. Every problem we create in our lives, and every problem that come to us, whether it is spiritual, whether it is social in our families, in the church, at work, every financial distress and problems, every problem we face in school, academically, whatever it may be, every problem we face in our neighborhoods is a great opportunity to set us in a brand new right course and to bring us new blessings in life that we never had before. Even physical infirmities can be a brand new beginning. We are all struggling, as I shared with you before, in all of our decisions, whether it is academic, financial, social, emotional. What are we trying to achieve? We are all, with all of the decisions we are making, whether it is good or bad decision, we are trying to maximize our joys and to minimize our pain. Isn't that true? Why do you go to school?
To learn.
To learn. What is the end result of that? All of us know that we were taught, you go to school so you can be a good kid and you learn and you get a degree. And when you get a degree from college, you have a better chance to get a better job and to have a better life.
That's true.
That is to maximize your joy and to minimize your pain.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Why do we go to church?
To worship and praise God.
And what is the outcome of that?
Blessings.
To be blessed. And the word blessed is to maximize our joys and to minimize our pains. The truth of the matter is, if we truly get acquainted with the love of God for us, that is the unconditional love of God, we will continue to learn how to truly maximize our joys and minimize our own sorrows. And that is what we're going to be examining today. We talked about great many gifts, right? The gift of teaching, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, the gift of tongues, multi-language, the gift of mercy and grace. But the Bible is telling us the secret of how to live a blessed long life of peace. How to experience much less conflict than most people. And how to experience great blessings on this earth, even in time of trouble. You see, when things don't go our way, how do we feel?
Sad.
We feel first afraid, right? Because if things don't go our way, we feel some kind of loss. Is that true?
True, very true.
They don't go our way. We feel some kind of loss. How about if your employer came to you in your review and said, you know, we're concerned. Your production has not been as good.
Oh, man.
How will that make you feel?
Scared.
Okay? We're going to experience some fears.
Yeah.
Am I going to keep my job? And if I didn't keep my job, what's going to happen to me and my family and all the expenses and distress comes in, right?
Right.
Now, if you try to do your best after that, a week, two or three, and your employer, the same one who gave you the review, did not give you any hint whether he appreciates your progress or not, how would you feel? More afraid, right? What makes it worse, if your employer came a month and a half down the road and said, hey, yesterday, you've been trying so hard.
But
you've been trying so hard. And you know you've been, because you want to keep your job. You want to minimize your suffering and the suffering of your family. You want to maximize your joy. And you've been trying. You've been coming earlier to work. You've been producing more. And for some reason, your superior did not acknowledge that. And a month and a half down the road, he comes to you and said, you know, yesterday, you forgot to do this. That leads from fear to frustration. That in your mind now, regardless of what I do, he is after me. So fears escalate, frustration follows. And if you don't get a relief from that distressing thoughts, it impacts you and your family, even though you still have your job. And then eventually, the fear and frustration may result into something else. If the employer said, you know, we are not doing well, we're going to reduce your hours. And you would be the first one to get less hours. Now you follow the third cycle, which is pain. Fears, frustration, hurt feelings, and pain. How can you deal with all of this in a healthy way? It makes a big difference when you truly experience the love of God for you, regardless of all the circumstances. The Bible told us that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and those called according to His purpose. Did you notice the word love there?
Yes.
To those who do what?
Love.
Love the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, regardless of how much I love my God, my love is still defective. But what we live by is not our imperfect love for God, but the perfect, unconditional love of God for us. You know, does God love people who are not Christians?
Yes, He does.
Of course, He always did.
He came to save the sinner.
When the Bible said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Is He also talking about the Hindus?
Everybody.
And the Buddhists? And the Muslims? And the Jews? And the atheists who don't believe in Him?
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the Bible, it said God gave His blessings and He let His Son to shine upon the just and the unjust, the believer and the non-believer, the gift of sight and hearing, the gift of life on earth is a gift of God. Regardless of whether anyone on this earth believe in God or not, there is one thing that is a fact. You and I are sitting down here in complete health, I hope.
So far.
How many of us decided to place ourselves into our mother's womb? But we come out of our mother's womb and then we grow into this earth, and sometime on this earth, we begin to believe that we are invincible. We say what? It is my eyes, my hair, my hand. And we did not pay a penny for that. Neither did we give it to ourselves. And that is the very reason why God loves every human being. But our journey on this earth will be determined by one word.
Love.
The outcomes of our life daily will be determined by that one love. Mm-hmm. All of the bad news you hear about in the newspaper, all of the bad news you hear about in the nightly news, all the bad news you hear about in your community come from that one word.
No.
The wrong kind of love. The answer to our every human ailment, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, is also love. All of the decisions that we are trying to make, we are trying to really feel loved. We go to work because we love our family. I don't want my kids to suffer lack of food, lack of water, lack of shelter. Isn't that true?
True.
And do I want to suffer the lack of all of this?
No.
So a bit of it is caring for myself. But what happens when that love change? When the purpose of life change? To become I, me, and myself. There's no question. We have separated families. We have divorce. We have kids out of wedlock. Why? Because kids go to school, they feel very low on love. Isn't that true?
That's true.
They feel very low on love. Somehow, there's something deficient, something absent in the household. And then they don't feel that love and security when they go to school, even in grade 4 and 5. This is kind of crazy now.
Yeah.
Kids began to talk about what?
Sex.
I have a girlfriend. And they began to talk about this issue that we just mentioned. And they bring things to school. What are they searching after? Everyone is telling them that that is how to feel loved. And what happens? Things get worse. Things get worse. All of us are looking to be loved, but we can be loved in the right way, we can be loved in the wrong way. If we have experienced the love of God for us in a personal way, we would be able to love everybody else the same. And that is the love that heals. When Jesus was asked, "How can a man live? You said that you came, that we may have life, and that we may have it more abundantly. How can a man live that abundant life on earth? And how can a man inherit eternity? How can we be very sure that we are going to go to heaven after our journey is complete? Because all of us are sinners, aren't we? The Bible said all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, not a righteous, not even one. I am at peace with that. I am resolved that that is true. And as long as I believe I am a struggling sinner, I will always need a Savior. And that is love. So when Jesus was asked that question, he was also asked exactly the same question by a Pharisee who was testing and trying him. Which of the commandments are the greatest to really give us the abundant life on earth and then give us eternal life? Let us read the words of Jesus and let us examine this together. It is in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. Because regardless of how much education we have, what kind of degrees we have, what kind of jobs we have, that does not mean we are going to live the abundant life on earth. It doesn't matter how many cars you own. It doesn't matter how many homes you own. It doesn't matter how much you have in your bank account. That will not give you the abundant life. And I'm very blessed to say that when I go to the hospital every Monday to the ICUs and the CCUs, I meet multimillionaires. Multimillionaires, people with PhDs and people with lots of money, lying down on the same sick bed next to a homeless. Degrees, all of these intelligences, all of the homes, all of the money, and all of the cars does not really give us the abundant life. There's a difference, a major difference between the American dream and the Christian dream. And Jesus is going to make that difference very clear. So let us read those words of Christ. In verse 36, Matthew 22, 36, someone asking Jesus, "Master, which is the greatest commandments in the law?" This means, which one of these commandments will really give us a blessed long life on earth, regardless of all the troubles we have to go through, even as struggling sinners? And which one of these commandments will give us eternal life? Listen to how Jesus summarized all the Bible. He made it so simple. Listen to this. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandments. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets." Jesus said, if you want to summarize the whole Bible, and if you want to learn the root problems of every human being and every nation, and the true answer for every conflict of every human nation, it lies within this one word, love. But did you notice something? Something important here. Jesus did not say, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul." Why is that? Because that will become idolatry. And that is a root of all conflict. Many conflicts between couples, between individuals, between families, It is because people invest their deepest need for love in another human being who is also defective and limited. I'm a pastor. Ask me, is my love sufficient to really supply your every need?
No.
Impossible. Impossible. Do you think your mother's love and your father's love, even though I believe this love of parents ought to be the best among human beings? Mm-hmm. No one should love children more than their own parents. But let me ask you the question, parents. Are you able to supply your children's every needs? Yeah. Impossible. Do you know how to sort their internal conflict and really give them every answer to their every problem? No. How about their list of needs and wants? Can you supply that? How about their conflict with other friends and neighbors and family members? Because you are not God. But you still have to exist within the parameters of the love of God. So it is Jesus who said, be careful if you try to invest in your home, that it is the source of your peace and the source of your joy and the source of your own existence, you will be disappointed when you can no longer live in that home. When the stock market went down, how many people committed suicide? Big executives in big banks in this country and in Europe committed suicide. Why? Because they fully believed and trusted in their own might, and that money is the source of their own existence and life. When money disappeared, they decided life is not worth a living. Is that how to maximize our joys and to minimize our pains? So Jesus said, no, I did not ask you to love your neighbor or anybody or anything with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, because I will ask you to do something that is impossible for you to do. So what does that also mean? It means if I am to love you, I have to love you exactly the way I felt loved by Jesus. I'm a sinner. I don't have many answers from my own conflict. I struggle with decisions. I make good decisions. I make bad decisions. And if I cannot meet my every need and my every conflict, therefore, I cannot meet yours. That's number one. Number two, as God loves me and become long-suffering and patient with me, even though a struggling sinner, and he still provide me many gifts every day, that is an expression of unconditional love. By the same manner I feel loved by God, I should be loving all of you. So when you err, when you sin, when you do something that is of great harm to yourself and to others, how should I be treating you? The same way God treats me. And here is the key. We are able. That is the root of all conflict. Listen this carefully. We are only able to love our families and everyone around us with the same measure and limitation we believe God loves us. So, if someone err and make a mistake and call me a bad name.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Have you ever been called a bad name?
Oh, yes.
Did you call other people bad names?
No.
Right. So you don't have to tell me. It's okay. If someone came and called me bad name, in that very moment that I have experienced the love of Jesus for me,
right,
there's two ways to respond to this. Okay? My response is determined by two things. How do I interpret what this individual said in my own head? And how will I respond to my interpretation? If I interpret this bad language toward me as someone is really hurting my pride. And that escalates fears in me, right? If I did not stop it right away, he may think to hurt me more in the future. And if I continue to do nothing about it, and if you continue to call me bad names, I'm going to reach a point of frustration. It's hurting my feeling, and I'm going to have to respond to my interpretation, maybe with a punch.
No.
Or maybe with more vulgar language to put him back in place.
No. It's not worth it.
Just imagine if Christ had to respond to me in the same way. If he said, listen, Abraham, I'm not going to punish you for anything, but I'm going to let you punish your own self for every mistake you make. Today, when someone calls me bad language, I recognize they have some kind of conflict. When people talk about bad language, definitely they have anger inside, right? This anger did not just happen when they saw me. Okay? This anger has been building up throughout the years, from childhood all the way up. It's called unresolved internal conflict. I just happen to be a trigger for that. Whether it's my looks, or something I say, or just being in the wrong place at the wrong time, or driving in the wrong way, and I do that every once in a while. You know, if my mind is very busy, it's true, sometimes I disobey the traffic rules, and in my busy mind, I make a right turn to the next lane without blinking.
Oh, wow.
Of course, that would scare somebody, right?
Yeah.
And of course, if somebody became afraid and hurt, he will try to express that in some way.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they say goodbye with the wrong finger.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they say to you things you don't want to hear. It's not exactly, I love to see you on the road. Listen, everyone got something. What is my responsibility? First, to take responsibility for my action. I am responsible for my own action. Therefore, I am also responsible for my own reaction. And whether I was the cause of it or not, I have to find a way in my mind. As I shared with you before, an experience that happened to me, I just came out of Bible study. And the Bible study was talking about the virtues of patience and long-suffering. Mm-hmm. And I am leaving home at night. And I am driving at night, and I am stopping at the stoplight. And a car is next to me with four teenagers in it. You can tell they are up for trouble. I kept my windows up. While waiting, the guy on the passenger seat put down his window and waved at me. Excuse me, I have a question, please. And out of the kindness of my heart to exercise the unconditional love of Jesus, I put my windows down. And he asked me, how to get to Cal State Hayward? And out of the unconditional love in my heart, I told him, turn right and left and go straight up there. Before I put my windows down, they tossed a cup of cold water right in my face. And my human nature kicked in. My fears and frustration and hurt feelings, all of them came together. My anger level was there. And I was ready to respond in my old nature. My old nature is, I will go down, but I'll make sure to take you down with me. That's my old nature. Will that maximize my joy and minimize my pain?
No.
I tell you, at that very moment, the right turned green. And in my mind, I was going to go right behind him. But because I was in a state of prayer, and because the Holy Spirit was in control, and because God knew my limitations, and knew exactly what will happen to me, and how the devil is going to be taking me into a chase of death, some power came upon me. Rather than turning behind them, I went straight. And maybe that saved my life. That saved my life. Because I reached a point of anger because I'm a human being. Correct? But because of the love of God working in me, for me, and through me, I was spared. And once I crossed the street, the peace of God came upon me, and I began to pray for these four teenagers. I will not know the outcome of this experience until someday when I get to heaven. But I knew very well. If I acted with the worldly love, the outcome would have been very different for me and for them. Mm-hmm. You see a difference there? Jesus said, you got to learn to love God. What he is really saying, allow yourself to experience the love of God for you every day. Because if you felt love for who you are, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're a Christian, a Hindu, a Buddhist, whatever religious affiliation you belong to, whether you are slim or whether you are overweight, whether you have money or whether you don't, whether you have education or whether you don't, whether you have a good job or a poor job, whether you're able to walk or not to walk, the love of God has the power to come upon every heart and mind and soul and change it from the inside out into something very, very special. God does not create, but something beautiful. It is we who turn everything that is beautiful to things that is not beautiful. Even all creation that God has created for the blessings of humanity. Some self-centered human being who loved nothing but the number one, loitered with creation, and now created lots of disasters in the world. Even though the love of mankind is defective, the love of God is from everlasting to everlasting unchanged. So Jesus said, I have created you with a divine purpose. It doesn't matter what people think of you. It doesn't matter what people say about you. It really doesn't matter whether the whole world thinks you are the greatest or the worst. God thinks of you and me as something powerful. If you look at all the people in the world who left their marks on history, they came out of adversities. Whether it's Martin Luther, whether it is President Abraham Lincoln, or the Martin Luther King Jr., all of the people who left their marks on history, even in biblical history, came from that environment. You know, my brother and I were raised in an orphanage in a third world country. And I tell you, people in society thought that we are the scumbags of society. Orphans in Egypt are perceived to be bastard, came out of wedlock. So society was beating upon us to make us feel that we are less. But I tell you something. Out of these adversities, God was able to help me see the world through his own eyes. That every human being is created after the image of God, a workmanship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we turn our heart and mind and soul to the love of Jesus, he is able to change us from the inside out and then to equip us with every spiritual gift that we need, whether it is knowledge, wisdom, multiple languages or tongues, all of these gifts of the Spirit, God will bestow upon us. Once we experience his love, he will give us everything that we need to prosper us on this earth. Now, prosperity is not in the abundance of possessions. That goes with the American dream, not the Christian dream. It is not how much you own that makes you prosper. The statistics show us that those who own and possess more got more troubles in this world than they can handle. And some of them commit suicide. So Jesus is inviting us today to experience the love of God for us individually. And when we experience that love of God, we will not be as afraid anymore. Now how about if someone, if you love God with all your heart and mind and soul, and you trust that he will provide your every needs every day, regardless of the circumstances. And if your boss came and said, sorry, the company is folding, and we're going to lay you off. Of course, you will have to go through the normal fears. Okay? But because you know that God loves you, and he said, look at the birds of the air. He said, when you become frightened over your needs on this earth, stop. Look at creation and look at all of this kind of birds with all of their colors and kinds. He said, they don't have a job. They don't have bank accounts. And when the wind is 170 miles an hour and the homes of humanity are crumbling, and when the heat is 120, they are still alive. You know, in my home, when one of those big storms came, we have eucalyptus tree in front of our houses. The wind was so strong, you can hear the trees. And a big, huge branch broke and fell down. Where do the trees live? Where do the birds live?
Birds live in the trees.
Most of them live on those trees. I see them every day. I sit in the balcony and I look at all of them, and they have their nests in trees. And the trees also is the home of many animals, like the squirrels and other things. But for some reason, you look at this and how cold outside, and we are hiding inside, and the heater is on. And you know in your mind, you're going to wake up in the morning, after all of these winds coming from every direction, after the destruction before you, you will see lots of birds dead on the ground. And I did that one early morning. And I got in the balcony, and I opened the balcony, and I looked down on the ground. There is not one dead bird. As a matter of fact, after the storm subsided, all what I hear are the birds singing again. Thank you, God, for preserving our lives. So Jesus said, when you think that your sustenance on earth and your livelihood is threatened, remember that I love you, and I'm the God who created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and I care for everything that I have created. Be at peace. He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. You know, when you have that faith in the love of God, your level of distress will decrease. When your level of distress decreases, your relationship with others will improve. But if your heart is full of distress, how will you handle your children? How will you handle your spouses? How will you handle your jobs? How will you handle your schooling? Without the peace of God, there is no abundant life. And there is no peace without trust into the love of God that sustains. Every morning when you rise up, thank God that you are up. Like the birds. Praise God that you're up. And said, Lord, I'm going to work. I'm going to school. I'm going somewhere. I know you have blessed me. May your love in my heart really not just work for me, but may that love be expressed to everyone around me. You know, you will be a star when you don't want to be. You will be famous when you don't want to be. You don't work hard at it. You don't have to resort to all of the wrong types of love to get the acceptance and the approval and the love and the affection of others in all the wrong way that destroys you. When you go to work with the love of God in your heart, you're going to do your job the best you can. And you will be able to help your co-workers, your employer, your employees, whatever your position may be. When you go to school, it's the same. And the Lord said, and everyone shall see that everything you touch will prosper. They will come and ask you about the reasons why. How come? My family, for many, many years, they don't believe I have problems. Because I never go and complain to them about my problems.
Right.
And I said, I have more problems to contend with than you do.
Mm-hmm.
It is how you interpret what you're going through and how you respond to it.
Right.
What are you equipped with to deal with all of these? Problems are blessings in disguise. If you know how to turn them quickly unto the Lord. So today I'm going to just break through this message. That Jesus said that the best gift to receive, to live an abundant, prosperous life, and the best gift to share is the gift of His love. In 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to be discussing that next week. Go ahead of me and read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It defines all the traits of love. Okay? Read this. And next Saturday, I'm going to go through it slowly. So you can see your own struggles and the struggles of your family and friends. And how can you turn things around to work for you and your family and never against you. For now, what I encourage you to do is what Jesus encourages us to do. He said, if you have fears, if you have frustrations, if you have worries about yourself, about your health, about your family, about your work, about your school, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Carry my yoke upon thee and learn of me how he handled things. For I am meek and lowly at heart, and ye will find rest unto your soul. Also today, examine the type of love that is motivating your action. Is it a healthy kind of love? Or is it unhealthy kind of love? And if it is unhealthy, go to Jesus with that. And say, Lord, my heart is full of love for thee, but also my heart is full of the other love of the world that everyone taught me. I learned it from Hollywood through many movies, and I learned it from the media, from different shows. I learned it from my wrong friends at home. I learned it from the wrong actions of my family at home. So in my heart, there is a desire for the true love of God. And in my heart, there's also that pressure that leads me to the other destructive love. I don't know how to handle it. You do. You know, God loves us a million times more than our parents. Parents, when your own child, whether it's a teen or not, come to you and say, Dad, Mom, I don't know. I feel this way, and I feel that way, and I feel this way, and you recognize right away. Your child is going through many struggles. Will you get angry with them? If you get angry with them, you need help. If your child come to confide in you and to tell you about his or her many struggles and problems seeking help, will you wish them ill? No. Every prudent, every loving, caring parents, when the child comes to confide in them and to share the hard burdens with them, every loving, caring parents would appreciate that and would say to the child, we will do everything to support you. And they take actions to support the child, not in the wrong way, but in all the wise way. And to make sure that even though that child must go through that stage of development, that they, the church, and other people are there to make sure that the child is safe and secure as the child develops his or her own experience with God. If we give our children the confidence that we love them unconditionally, if we give our children the support, that is the wise support, and if we give them the opportunity every day to come and talk with us, they will have their shares of mistakes, but those mistakes will be necessary for them to build character for true prosperity and success, and will not bring them or you the great heartaches and pains that other families are suffering. Why? Because you as parents have exercised the wise and unconditional love of God. We are not perfect, therefore our kids are not perfect. God is perfect. Our kids will struggle because of love. We will struggle because of love. But if we together pray for God's love to take hold of our heart and mind and soul, the knowledge of the Almighty and the wisdom of all ages will see us through all times. And the outcome of that will be prosperity through faith and trust in the love of Jesus. This is my prayer for all of us and all of God's people throughout the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you are able, please stand with me. Our God and Heavenly Father, love is the super fuel of our lives. We cannot live without it. It drives us in all of our decisions. And we know that you are love. And you are God and you are eternal. Therefore, love is eternal. It never diminishes and it never passes away. We pray that your holy love take hold of our heart and mind and body and soul. Even take over our own love and will and life and purpose. To control our health and well-being. To protect us from all evil within and without. May your Holy Spirit dwell in us and never depart. And may you bind our hearts and mind and soul together with thine own. And as you bless us with your holy love every day, it is our desire and our prayer that we extend and express that unconditional love to someone, somebody who may be going through some very difficult time and on the verge of collapse, as you have upheld us in time of storm. May you give us the power to uphold others in time of storm. And may your Spirit guide us, share every gift and every blessing with those who lack it. And may you bless our country and all nations of the world, that they may also recognize their desperate need for your own love and saving grace. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.